You pray with me. Father, we love you. And Lord, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for the cross and the resurrection. Lord, that every promise you've made, that you've kept. And so, Lord, I pray that these words would minister to us tonight because they're your words, not mine, but they're yours, Father. And so we thank you for these words. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So here we are. We're in the third week of Advent. And we're going to look at Mary's visit to Elizabeth. There's several things that I kind of want to just to really focus on and look at. But will you read that with me? Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 39. Page 1008. If you got this one. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Isn't it interesting that it says she went to Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth? Now, I find just a little bit of humor in that, because had she seen Zechariah and greeted him, what would he have said? Nothing. Why? Because the Lord had shut his mouth, right? And thus, a good biblical principle for us men to remember. Amen. There you go. A lot of busybodies talking tonight. All right. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice she exclaimed, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Now, a couple of things. All right, I want us to look at this, because here's this idea that Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And we hear this term a lot in church. And so I want to say a couple of things tonight. And if you just violently oppose what I say, just email me, ward@hillview.com. Just email me, because there's a couple of things there I think are theologically very important, because I think there's a misunderstanding of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And there are a lot of people that believe if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit, some would say, is obvious. A lot of people believe the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is that you would speak in tongues. I don't believe that. Okay. And I've got some friends, and they claim to have this gift of speaking in tongues. So I'm not telling you tonight that doesn't happen, that doesn't take place. But it's wrong to believe that the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is that you would speak in tongues, because not everybody has done that. And I've known some very godly, righteous people that have never done that. But I will say this, and I feel like this is very important theologically tonight, and that's this. That in almost every instance where the scripture talks about somebody being filled with the Holy Spirit, there is something that accompanies being filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's this, a recognition that Jesus is the Savior of the world. That being filled with the Holy Spirit is what helps you understand that. Now listen, if you, like me, if you grew up Baptist, you don't know a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. We were afraid of the Holy Spirit as Baptists. So we didn't talk about the Holy Spirit much. And then we had, you know, there'd be the church down the road. It was the Holy Rolling Church. And, you know, and they had every manner of expression. And because of that, we didn't want anything to do with it. Because what Baptists have traditionally done is thrown the baby out with the bathwater. That's what we've done for a long, long time. And so here it says that Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. Now listen to what the Bible says as soon as it says that. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord," all right, this is Elizabeth talking, "that the mother of my Lord should come to me." You see, it was the Holy Spirit that allowed her to recognize that the baby that Mary was carrying was indeed the Savior of the world. I remember one time a group of Baptists were going to have this, this happened in the state of Ohio. They were going to have this, this Christian rock group come to town, and the name of the group was Russia, because they were actually these brothers who grew up in communist Russia and had seen a lot of persecution. They were going to have them come, and on their little album cover, one of them had a pin on his jacket, and it was the dove, which represents the Holy Spirit. And so the group voted, and they voted not to bring them. And they said, well, we didn't know they were charismatic. And here's what we've got to understand about the Holy Spirit. Okay. And if you didn't understand any of what I'm just saying, it doesn't even matter except for what I'm about to say. And that's this: without the Holy Spirit, you and I could not recognize that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Okay. So, I mean, when you're a kid and they're trying to tell you to love the Holy Ghost, I never loved anything that ended in ghost. It just scared me, right? And there was this understanding. But Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And what results from her being filled with the Holy Spirit is that she is able to recognize that the baby that Mary is carrying is indeed the Savior of the world. Now, our prayer for tonight has been that there's going to be some folks here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And I want you to know the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I mean, first and foremost, more important than anything you've ever heard, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to open our eyes and our ears so that we can see God for who He really is, recognize God for who He really is, and the Holy Spirit enables us to desire a relationship with God. It's the Holy Spirit that does that. Here's what I'm saying. You can't get saved unless the Holy Spirit opens your eyes to that, because you and I cannot figure that out on our own. Now, I did get one email from last week, and I don't know if I'll be able to clarify what the person commented on, but you may remember last week, I think it was last week, I talked about that before Jesus, what did I say we were all doing? Before Jesus, we were running to hell as fast as we could go. All right. So at least one person took a little, you know, what am I trying to say here, Melon? A little offense at that. Yeah. And they said, I wasn't that bad of a person. You see, what's at the heart of the gospel is that you've got to die to yourself. You've got to die to yourself. You'll never, never see yourself for who you really are if you don't see Jesus for who He really is. And when I see Jesus for who He really is, I'm telling you, I wasn't just looking towards hell. I was sprinting towards hell. And anything I wanted to do, I did. With little to no remorse at all. I mean, it was kind of like... It's kind of like the only thing, really, honestly, before I became a Christian, the only reason I even cared about maybe not sinning is because of my mother. You may have one of those mothers. Like, my dad could just beat me all over the house, right? And I hated it. I didn't look forward to it, but he beat me all over the house. My mama just had to look at me and go, and I'm just like, Dad, beat me some more, you know? It's the Holy Spirit that allows us to recognize Jesus for who He really is, that He is indeed the Savior of the world. And Elizabeth recognizes that. Now, I think it's important to say that tonight, because I want you to know in almost every instance in Scripture where it talks about somebody being filled with the Holy Spirit, there is this somewhere around there is this recognition of who Jesus is. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. Okay. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." I love that. Now, I don't know what it feels like to have a baby leap for joy inside of you. Some of you tonight do know what that feels like, right? Now, I have felt, and you know, we're kind of beyond those years of having children now, and I think you're only allowed to have so many anyway. And if there's a limit, surely we reached it. But I do remember those times we'd be driving down the road or on our way to my mom and dad's or her mom, and she'd say, "Oh, give me your hand," and I'd give her my hand, and she'd put my hand on this certain spot, and guess what? You could feel that little baby kicking, right? It's an incredible thing. Well, the word that's used here to describe how this baby inside of Elizabeth, how it moves, is that it leaped for joy. You see, even the baby inside Elizabeth knew who the baby inside Mary was. Matter of fact, the baby inside of Elizabeth, it would be the sole ministry of that baby is to prepare everybody for the coming of the Messiah. Are you with me? In Luke chapter 3, listen to this. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Euteria and Trachtna, all these names, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough way smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. You see, the baby inside of Elizabeth, you remember how we tell you that nobody got here by accident? Even if you were told you were an accident, you weren't. Remember how I always tell you that? And that there's a reason for your existence, that God created you for a plan and a purpose. Well, this little baby inside of Elizabeth, his sole purpose was to prepare the coming of the Messiah so that people would recognize him when he comes. And of course, they're quoting the prophet Isaiah here. And this is exactly what John the Baptist would say. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers. What a greeting, huh? Imagine, think about try that at Hillview on a Sunday morning sometime. You brood of vipers. You bunch of snakes. Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What should we do then? The crowd asked. And John answered, the man with two tunics should share with him who has none. And the one who has food should do the same. Tax collectors also came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. And the people were waiting expectantly, and they were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. And John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come. The thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached good news to them. This is what John's ministry is going to be. And his first possible moment to exclaim that this is the Savior of the world comes before he's even out of the womb. And Elizabeth hears Mary's voice. She's filled with the Holy Spirit. And at that moment, the baby leaps for joy. Here's the message that I think is here, is that there should be joy in each of our lives. This is the Wednesday of joy, right? I always have to think about saying that because, well, you normally say the Sunday of joy. But this is the Wednesday of joy. And there ought to be a joy that is evident in each of our lives. And what I like how this story unfolds is, you know, there's a hope that we have. There's a peace because Jesus is indeed Savior of the world. But there's a joy that should accompany that as well. And we see this joy represented here in John the Baptist, inside his mother's womb as he leaps for joy at hearing the voice of the Savior's mother. Now, this is an incredible thing. That you and I, we should be a joy-filled people. I mean, that should be who we are. That should be a characterization that people would make of us, is that we are people that have joy in our lives. This is important. How are we able to have joy? That's a question. How are we able to have joy? It Absolutely, through the grace of God, through what Jesus has done. That's how we have joy, but then it's our responsibility how we communicate that joy. And don't think that our primary way of communicating that joy is just in our words, but it's also going to be in our actions. And I wanted to tie in John the Baptist here, because that is the baby that leaped for joy. But I wanted to tie in his words too. Why would a man with two tunics share with one that has none? Everybody know what a tunic is? If a man has two coats, he should give one to somebody that doesn't have any, right? If a man has two shoes, it's a bad example. But you're with me, right? You know what I'm talking about. I did that on purpose. I knew that'd be funny. Why would we do? Why would you give? Would you give out of pity and compassion? I mean, that's why a lot of people give. But we're to give out of joy. I don't even know that it's abundance, Will. If we have abundance, it definitely is. But I think there are times when it's not abundant. But in times of non-abundance, we can still have joy, and that joy drives us to be those kind of people. And I always think it's kind of ironic that we talk about joy at this time of year, right? How many of you can figure out, you know, fit 5 more minutes of something in the next 2 weeks? I mean, come on. We've got it scheduled up to the second, don't we? Don't we? I mean, we do. Did I tell you about coming back on Thanksgiving through Brownsville? Did I already tell you that? Yeah, I mean, you know, I've got every second planned. I'm getting ready to preach that Sunday, right? And so I'm on my way back from my in-laws. We get to Brownsville, and there's just an ambulance in the middle of the road with the lights on. I'm like, that's odd. Nobody's giving direction. And I thought, wait a minute, I've gone through Brownsville 1,000 times. I'm just going to cut back on one of these little back roads. And I cut on this back road, and there are hundreds of thousands of people in Brownsville everywhere. I mean, I can barely drive down the road and people are just looking at me and nobody's giving me any direction. I'm like, what is going on? Oh my gosh, the town's burning down or something. But I know I got to be home at a certain time, right? And all of a sudden I come over this little curve and the sheriff comes up and we meet at the top of this little hill. And he's got his lights on and he's going like this. And I don't know what you do when somebody in the law profession has got their lights on and do it, but I get over. And we sit in that spot for an hour and 20 minutes as the Brownsville parade goes by. Front row seat. And I just thought, how odd would it be? I don't think anybody would pull me over if I'd just put it in reverse. And I'd have been the first attraction. People would be like, look at that guy driving backwards in the parade. That's awesome. An hour and 20 minutes. I've never had so many people smoking cigarettes, throwing candy at my kids, right? Hang on a second. I mean, it was crazy. Even Santa was like, hang on. Hey, kids, what do y'all want? You know, I mean, it was crazy. It's crazy. And we're talking about having joy at this time of the year, right? And the kids are like, ooh, a parade! Yeah, I'm like, shut up. And my wife's like, ooh, a parade! And I'm like, get out. And so her and a couple of kids get out to collect candy and stuff like that. And, you know, that was an hour and 20 minutes that I didn't have. And it wasn't just an hour and 20 minutes. It was an hour and 20 minutes in that spot. All right, then it was 40 minutes to get out of Brownsville. I mean, Brownsville's this big, right? You've been there? It's 40 minutes to get out of Brownsville. So it's this time of the year that we're talking about being filled with joy, right? And of course, there I am. I'm the only guy in Brownsville sitting in the car like, oh, I can't believe this. And every once in a while, float would go by, Pastor Jamie. I'm like, just came to see you. Joyful Jamie, that's right. And so here we are. And we're supposed to be a people that are filled with joy. Because I'm going to tell you, if the worst thing going on in your life is that you got 2 hours where you had to sit and watch a parade, if that's the worst thing going on in your life, you probably have a lot to be thankful for. Right? And we're supposed to have this joy that's evident this joy that's abundant, regardless of the situation that's going on. This joy that is there. I want you to think about it like this, because finally it tells us this. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. All right. So Mary's blessed for a lot of different reasons, right? She's blessed for a lot of different reasons. But mainly it says this: blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. That the Lord is going to do what he has said. This child that's inside of her, right? That we know is the very handiwork of God. And all that's going to happen. Because listen, right now at Christmas time, we all smile thinking about that little baby, don't we? And that little baby, it's going to be in the manger. But let's not forget about 33 more years down the road, when that little baby is hanging on a cross, and that there can finally be real joy because of the Savior. This is what we've got to remember. This is what we hang on to, that all this is being talked about here. It's very important. It's very significant. Theologically, it's very important, because I want you to know, if you are a Christian, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and the evidence of that is that we proclaim that there is indeed a Savior. That we proclaim that. That's part of our lives. That we understand this. Because I think if you really want to grasp on to joy with all that you have, you understand this. And the Bible tells us this. Babies all over the room are affirming this, right? And that is this. This place we're in right now is not home. The Bible says we are aliens and strangers here. We're just passing through. This isn't home. And you know what? You only need to look around, or you only need to see the prayer chain, or you only need to come to church and sit with those who have lost loved ones to be glad that this is not home. You see, I want home to be a place where there is no more sickness, where there is no more struggle, where there is no more separation, where there is no more death. You see, if you're a follower of Jesus, that's home, and it's not here. But Jesus has come. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus has come so that you and I could call that place home once and for all. And then the Bible says of Jesus that he goes to prepare a dwelling place for us. That he goes and does that. It's a powerful thing. You know what a dwelling place is? If I ever shared that with you, I may have. This is really cool. When a Jewish young man would ask a Jewish young lady to marry him, if she agreed to marry him, he immediately would go back to his father's house, and he would begin to build a room on to the father's house. And that room, because you got to remember, they lived in family groups, right? That room would be him and his gal's place, right? And you know what they called that room? It was called a dwelling place. And it was a room that was hooked on to the Father's house. They weren't disconnected from the Father. And Jesus has gone to prepare a dwelling place for us. A place that's hooked on to the Father's house. And there's no separation from Him. You really want joy? Because I'm afraid what a lot of us do is our joy is conditional. I've got joy if the doctor's report is what I want it to be. I've got joy if my work situation turns out the way I want it to. I get joy if the economy does better. And our joy is conditional. But I want you to know, think about the life of this little baby whose birth we're celebrating this time of year. Think about his life. And that this man of joy, this Jesus that we talk about, who would come and he would be crucified on a cross, he'd be beat, he'd be spit upon, he wouldn't even have his own place to be put into a tomb, right? He'd be buried in a borrowed tomb. And this is a man that came talking about joy. And if you're going to follow this man, Jesus, then I think you can expect a cross in your life. And I think you can expect a beating, albeit in your life, to be spit upon in this life. You see, joy isn't about what this life has to offer. Joy is about what the next life has to offer. And it's mine. You can take my home now. You can take all the things that I have. You can take everything, but you can't take heaven from me. You cannot do that. You can take my life, but you cannot take heaven from me. Why? Because Jesus said that's what he's going to do. And what does the Bible tell us? Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. My joy is in that nobody can take away what God has promised me. You can take all this away because this isn't home. But you can't take home away. You can't take home away. This is what joy is. This is what joy is. This is why we'd like on Wednesday nights to hear these children. Right? Because that is joyful. It's joyful for a lot of different reasons, isn't it? But tonight I want to tell you that the baby inside of Elizabeth leaped for joy because Jesus was the Savior of the world. We're going to have a time of altar. I'm going to invite you to come to the altar tonight. For the last month or so, I don't know why I've brought up marriage a lot, and different folks have responded in just ways saying pray for my marriage or something like that. I'll invite you. We have a time of altar. I just invite you to bring your spouse to the altar and for you all to pray. Maybe you're here tonight and you know that you don't know that joy is how people would characterize your life. I'm going to ask you to come to the altar and repent and say, Lord, help me to show the joy that I have. Help me to do that. Maybe for you, maybe tonight you've realized that your joy is conditional. Hey, as long as everything goes the way I want, then I'll have joy. If you've realized that tonight, then I would ask you to come to the altar and repent of that. But even more important than all of that, if you're here tonight and you're not sure where your home is, that you're not sure that heaven is really your home, I wouldn't leave here tonight until that was clarified. And the great confidence I have in preaching is none in me or my ability, but the great confidence I have is that as God's word is being preached, the Holy Spirit is opening people's eyes and ears. And if you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want you to know Jesus is a huge deal. And there's very few major world religions that don't talk about Jesus in some way, shape, or form. They have to. Because he made such an impact in all of human history that you'd be foolish to say you're a world religion and not talk about Jesus in some kind of a way. But I want you to hear what Jesus said about himself. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. We have to trust him. You've talked about baptism a lot. And if you're here tonight and you're a follower of Jesus and you've never been baptized, I want you to know the Bible teaches us that baptism happens after conversion. And that after your conversion, then you're to be baptized. You're already saved. You don't get baptized to be saved. You're already saved. But it's following in obedience to him in baptism. And I'd ask you to come to the altar if you've never done that tonight. And let us talk to you about that and scheduling a time for you to do that. I know we've already had several calls for Christmas Eve. People are wanting to be baptized. But I'm asking you to come to the altar tonight. Let's be a people of joy because we know the Savior of the world. Father, we love you. And Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that we can have joy because of who you are. And Father, we thank you that we can trust you and that you do exactly what you say you will do. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. The altar is open. You come.